the Celerity Report. Today is November 19th, 2015. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Well, we have a lot to talk about. This is not going to be one of my shortest monies in markets. There's a lot going on in this world. Events. We have put the Secret Space Program Sunday Roundtable discussion up in Wild Cards. The sponsors made it free, and of course, my speech is available to subscribers. If you just do a search for Secret Space Program, you'll pull up the commentary on the website, and you can have those two for free. Very interesting discussion, that Sunday night panel, and I recommend it to you. The Architects of the New Paradigm Conference is going to be in Marin County outside of San Francisco on January 16th, 17th. It turns out a lot of interesting people are gathering. Joel Garbon's going to be speaking. I'm speaking. Richard Dolan and a lot of other people. The organizers of the Secret Space Program are coming from the Netherlands, and a lot of creative people from the San Francisco Bay Area are gathering. It's reasonably priced, so if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, I'm betting it's going to be an ideal place to network. January 27, 2016, I'm going to be at the Economic Roundtable of Ohio Valley at Marietta, Ohio. And I'm also going to be speaking and having a dinner with the students and leadership of the college. My working schedule, I'm working on my schedule for 2016. Tentatively, what I'm preparing is to be in Australia in May, Scotland in June, and then France, Germany, and Switzerland in July. That's tentative, but if you're going to be in those areas at that time and you're interested in doing things, let me know and we'll see whether we can accommodate or not. Finally, Give the Gift. This Christmas season, we invite, as we do every Christmas season, all subscribers to give someone a free one-month gift subscription to the Celerity Report. During that period, it's the period when you get the annual wrap-up and the annual equity overview. So it's a great gift to give someone. And rather than give out complimentary or trial complimentary subscriptions to strangers, we want to give or award that right to our subscribers because you're the ones who make all of this possible. So to give this gift, just send who you want to receive it, send their first and last name and email address and phone number to customerservice@celerity.com. Or if you just go to the website and click on Give the Gift, we also have our customer service number there if you'd rather call it in. So Merry Christmas from us to help you spread that Christmas cheer. Our theme tonight is Joy Comes with the Morning. I had a lot of very interesting conversations about the importance of joy this week. Let me describe. Globally, the leading cause of death is heart disease, approximately 7.5 million deaths a year. Globally, violence causes 1.6 million deaths. So compare 7.5 million to 1.6 million. If you break that down, for example, I'll use the United States, 611,000 people a year die from heart disease, 16,000 die from homicide, 41,000 from suicide. So on a daily basis, that's 1,674 people a day from heart disease in the U.S., 112 from suicide, and 43 from homicide. Essentially, more people died in France last week from heart disease than from terrorist attacks, which is to say globally that you and I should spend at least 10 times as much worrying about the risk of dying of a broken heart than the risk of violence. And then in the developed world, you and I should spend at least 100 to 1,000 times as much trying to protect ourselves and our loved ones from a broken heart as opposed to from a terrorist act or a violent crime. So if you do want to worry about violence, for heaven's sakes, look at the statistics. Worry about the people you know, not strangers. So while I appreciate that it's very hard in this day and age to ignore the ISIS boogeyman, understand that the goal of the people who are perpetuating these operations is to destroy your faith, your hope, and your love. Consequently, there's nothing more important you need to do than nurture your faith, your hope, and your love. One of my favorite scriptures is, "Guard your heart, for from it flows the wellsprings of life." Another is, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." So make it a habit to create the conditions of joy in your life. It's one of the most important ingredients to success in this environment. As the Chinese premier said to the BRIC nations meeting at the G20 meeting when they were talking about moving ahead aggressively with building forward, he quoted an old Chinese saying, pure gold fears no fire. So pure gold fears no fire. Neither do I. Neither should you. Let's move forward. Money and markets. Let's just go through the numbers. I'm using the Wednesday close again. The U.S. dollar index was up actually a little bit more than 10%. It was at 99.75 yesterday. It dropped back into 98 today. Bonds are not, you know, everything's down with rare exception. Bonds too. The bond aggregate now down 1.34% for the year. TLT now down 4.5% for the year. That's in anticipation. The Fed minutes indicated that they... if things continue as they are today, they plan to raise rates in December, and so the market is expecting that, and so we're seeing bonds trade off a little bit. S&P now up 1.2% for the year, so it's slightly in the positive. Gold and silver not doing well at all. Gold down 9.8%. Silver, I'm using the ETFs, SLV down 10.2%. It's a great rant from Trader Dan, which I put up in Precious Metals on the website, just ranting at the gold bugs who, because of their attachment to ideology or talking their book, have talked a lot of people into taking some terrible losses on gold and silver. And he talks about what terrible harm they've done. I couldn't agree more. There's a serious chance we're headed into another leg down. Gold at 900, even 700 is where it looks like it could hit the bottom. So please make sure that you maintain your core position. Again, that's insurance, bank insurance. And you're prepared to live through a leg down to 900 or 700. If you haven't read my post, what percentage of my assets should I hold in precious metals, and you're sitting on big positions, I strongly recommend you take a look at it now, because again, I think there's a reasonable chance we could take another big leg down. Oil down 40% now. That's very, very painful. And of course, it's continued long enough that we're starting to see that translate into problems with debt in the oil patch. Good heavens, we don't know what's going on in the derivative market, but I can only imagine. German market now up 12% for the year. The Germans continue strong. The large cap Chinese are down 9%, but Shanghai is now up. The Shanghai index now up 8% for the year. So the Chinese market has essentially recovered, and that's another reason why the Fed may feel comfortable enough to raise interest rates in the December meeting. Developed world now flat for the year. The EFA ETF of that's all developed countries except for North America. Emerging markets not doing well. They're down 12.3%. That's very painful and very much related to commodities being down. The Jefferies index on commodities down 20% for the year. Lots of pain across the board in commodities, whether in precious metals and base metals, in mining, in agriculture, just a lot of pain. The Wall Street Journal headline on Monday was no panic in bond market. How could there have been? Everybody was too busy fanning hysteria from the ISIS boogeyman. ISIS and the war on terror have become the ultimate job program, without which apparently we could not keep the pro-centralization team going. The whiteout is whiting out all the news on trouble in the bond market, trouble in the commodities market, trouble in the derivatives market, the impact on government and financial institutions, not to mention what's really going on in those underground facilities in Syria. So let's look at some of the financial news that the ISIS boogeyman has wiped out. My bet is the 50 to 60% chance that the Fed raises interest rates in December. I think they're just going to pump them a little bit, 12.5 basis points, 25 basis points. It'll be tiny, but it will ring the bell in terms of the turn in the bond market. We're clearly dealing with a global slowdown, and the problem is that the Europe debt problems are far from worked out and over, and rising interest rates and a rising dollar is clearly going to continue to put the emerging market debt in real trouble. A lot of that debt is companies. It's not consumers. So that makes their economy stronger to deal with it. But it's we definitely have the potential of a debt crisis in the emerging markets coming our way, particularly if the Fed bumps. There's a report from one of the Dutch newspapers that the Dutch cabinet started to consider the possibilities of a post-Schengen agreement, even post-EU-Europe. And what they were proposing is a much tighter group of Northern Europe, which makes a lot of sense. Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany, and Austria. Clearly, we're in a period of more false flags. I'm very glad we did the false flags Soleri report with Richard Dolan. And if you haven't heard it, it's not a bad idea to go back and listen to it, because I suspect, you know, we're just in a period of covert wars rising, and we're going to see more and more of these things. Clearly, what happened in Europe last week was, given the history of the Vatican and CIA Gladio operations, highly suspicious. Someone asked me on the blog what I thought the chances were that it was a false flag, and I said 90% or better. At the same time, a false flag in this day and age is very murky because, as I've talked about before, we're in a post-Treaty of Westphalia period. If you haven't read the review I did on modern mercenaries, I would encourage you to do that to dig into what I mean by post-Westphalia. But we now have multiple parties and factions that can engineer an operation like this. They're different factions of many different governments. There's organized crime. There's all sorts of private armies and private companies and institutions. So, again, I think it's very murky. I do think it's more than fascinating that the day that they chose to do it was Friday the 13th in France. For those of you who might not be aware, the Friday the 13th, October 1307, was the day that King Philip of France teamed up with the Vatican and ordered that the French Templars be rounded up and arrested, and they were ultimately tortured and burned at the stake. And some people believe that's the origin of the Friday the 13th superstition. This year, there was no Friday the 13th in October, so the one fall October 13th or Friday 13th that we have, what do we get? We get a major terrorist event in Paris. So very interesting timing. At the same time, one of the responses, are you ready for this? The United States Embassy in Italy has issued a security alert to all Americans abroad, warning them to avoid locations that have been identified as potential targets for terrorist attacks. And number one on their short list is St. Peter's Basilica at the Vatican. So basically, you have the U.S. government telling Americans to stay away from the Vatican. Meantime, there are continued reports of serious financial stress and controversy over the financial management at the Vatican, reports of nuns being arrested, all sorts of leaks, and journalists being investigated for writing about the financial situation at the Vatican. My prediction is that the Vatican Bank and the financial interests in and around the Vatican are one of the financial institutions being hit hard by a combination of the deflation and the shift from global 2.0 to 3.0. And it wouldn't surprise me if that was related to false flags going on in Europe. IMF has announced last week, and we talked about it last week, that the yuan will be in the SDR, but clearly the battle continues to rage because they announced earlier today, that they're thinking of lowering the yuan's potential weighting in the SDR. So the forces that were trying to stop it have lost, but now they're fighting for every inch. As I said, commodities hurting oil and gas, mining, agriculture, and that's translating into problems in investment returns for numerous countries and institutions and creating more problems in the derivative markets. The real solution, of course, is to re-engineer and increase productivity. If you look at what's happening to global deflation, I think the greatest single cause is this creeping invasive totalitarianism and covert warfare and fear. And you're just seeing so much of the dysfunctional behavior and the lawlessness, organized crime, corruption, really corrode people's risk-taking and ability to function. And we literally can't, the whole globe is getting buried in shadow work, if you will, or shadow violence. And I think that's the issue that has to be addressed if we want to go forward. So it's very important to focus on what we can do that's productive. But unfortunately, there is a negative feedback loop, and that's why I published a little commentary this week called The Deflation Dance. Let me just read it to you. Lockheed Martin is the largest U.S. defense contractor. Since the Paris bombings, Lockheed Martin stock is up 3.5%, significantly outperforming the broad market. In Paris, 129 people are reported dead. The media is doing its best to scare 8 billion people to death with the images. Politicians are committing taxpayers to more expenses. The drums of war are fanned. Lockheed investors make $2 billion. That's the amount their stock was up. Though I posted in related reading a link to the fact that the Senate at that point had passed the commercial space bill. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. So Lockheed may have been up on the commercial space bill as well. Anyway, another note in the market, the Square IPO, Square being the payment system that works off of your cell phone, very useful for many merchants. They did their IPO today. The pricing was lackluster. The price jumped fairly significantly after the initial pricing. This is important because it has the potential at a low price to really hurt private equity valuations at the end of the year, and that could be bad news, not just for the private equity funds, but the pension funds that have put a lot of money in them. So it's going to be very interesting to see where that price comes out in the secondary market in the, you know, now and for the next month, and what that is all going to translate into for the private equity valuations. Wouldn't surprise me if the private equity guys had ordered huge purchases to keep that price way, way up. A university professor gave an interview to Alex Jones, which I think is really a must watch, particularly if you're a student or a professor or somebody in and around universities. The tagline was weaponizing the student body. It's a professor from tenured, thank heavens, from University of California at Davis, who gives a whole presentation on kids being entrained with mind control technology, working through smartphones and the cell towers and social media, and the extraordinary bizarre behavior. And he's talking about University of Missouri, but there are reports coming in from Princeton, Yale, and several other universities that you're getting this unbelievably bizarre behavior. And one of the things it's doing is it's literally killing free speech in the university environment. And the other thing it's doing is it's stopping kids. Kids are embroiled with stupid social issues where you're essentially looking at your belly button, as far as I'm concerned, and they're not getting into the real power lines. They're not talking about trade agreements. They're not talking about GMO food. They're not talking about student loan reform. They're not talking about national security. They're not talking about federal budgets or any of the real issues of the day. If you want to hear the real issues of the day, see the great interview we did with Cynthia McKinney. It's a great transcript because I said to her, okay, if you were running for president, we're going to discuss the real issues. What are the top 10? Let's go through them. But the kids aren't focused on any of that because they're being entrained into, you know, sort of dead end circles. And it's frightening to watch. And that's why I want to make an offer. Anybody who works in a university, again, if you're faculty, if you're a student, please take the transcript of my interview with Adam Trombley, and that InfoWars interview, which is up on the website, up in Top Picks this week. Take those two things and, for heaven's sakes, make sure everyone you know in and around, you know, the colleagues that you can talk with in an open way, make sure they know this stuff exists. Again, a very gruesome movie, but Kingsman is a great movie to help you understand the dangers of these technologies. And I really encourage you, because what is happening is very dangerous. And I would hate to see a subscriber who has access to that information not use it to. I really want you to use that to protect yourself. I really want to make sure that you're protected and effective in this environment because you understand what's going on. Trans-Pacific Partnership is now available, and we have many more people who've been reading it, and reporting on it, it's clear that one of the reasons I think the leadership in the United States has wanted to digitize healthcare and education, as we've been talking about all year, is now they're going to be able to outsource all the healthcare and education all around the world, because it really does make outsourcing of services much, much easier. And so that's a whole new wave of outsourcing that can keep the big guys going. Not a pretty picture, but worth understanding. Demonic Enforcement Award goes to the Department of Justice. It's reported this week in the Wall Street Journal. Department of Justice actively pursuing criminal cases against executives at RBS and JP Morgan Chase related to mortgage-backed securities. Now, why do I say this is demonic? The reality is, if you look at who engineered the housing bubble that did so much harm to so many people, we don't need to even revisit because it's so significant. One of the most significant entities to making that possible was the Department of Justice. So for the Department of Justice to be prosecuting anyone but themselves is mind-boggling. But if they were going to prosecute someone, why not prosecute the CIA leadership? Why not prosecute Alan Greenspan? Why not prosecute Bob Rubin or Larry Summers or any of the leadership at FHA and Fannie Mae who engineered this top-down? No, we're going to go after some minor guys at RBS and JP Morgan Chase just in time to have their indictments prepared for the election. It's so ugly because it is such a waste of taxpayer resources. They're going to spend millions of dollars and get nothing accomplished except, once again, you know, blame the minor for the major. And you know, I calculated at one point when they came after Hamilton, which was very important to making the housing bubble possible, that they had spent $45 million just targeting and torturing Hamilton and me. Well, imagine what that $45 million could have been invested in. So we can't, you know, this gets back to, are we going to have a negative return on investment to taxpayers or a positive return on investment? Because the key to productivity is to turn all those negative returns to positive returns. And I assure you, we cannot afford to waste millions and millions of dollars going after the people who were, you know, at the bottom of the ladder. It's just really, it's demonic. Anyway, get ready for a big fight. Obama says gun control is going to be the top issue of his final year. Uh-oh. Ladies and gentlemen in the heartlands, get ready to fight. ULA, which is a joint venture of Lockheed and Boeing, announced that it was quitting the competition to provide launch of the next Air Force satellite. They said it was because they needed Russian engines and couldn't get them due to the sanctions. And you're kind of scratching your head. That leaves SpaceX the only bidder. I have no idea how SpaceX is getting their engines. But, you know, I almost wonder, with the commercial space bill passing, if Lockheed didn't decide they needed to reserve their capacity for private activities. So let's turn to the Space Act of 2015. More specifically, the U.S. Commercial Space Launch Competitiveness Act. It has now been passed by both Senate and Congress and is going to the president. He's presumed the president will sign it. What it says is that U.S. companies engaged in essentially asteroid and mining on celestial bodies can get to keep what they mine. It's basically saying, okay, the gold rush is on. The question is how this sorts with the Outer Space Treaty of 1967, which governs, that says no celestial body is subject to national appropriation by claim of sovereignty by means of use or occupation or any other means. If you're interested in this, I would really encourage you to look at the special report we just did on space law. Hopefully it'll be the first of a series we're going to write on this topic, which I think is very important. But the Space Act sort of skirts the issue by saying, no, this is just private companies who get to keep what they take. But this does tee up a potential legal issue in terms of the relationship between sovereign governments and how that's going to play out in space. But it dramatically improves the economics to private companies of going into space. And as I said, I think it's very interesting that Lockheed stock was up so much subsequent to the passage. Anyway, so much to happen there. The president hasn't signed it, but it is presumed that he will. And what I would say is the gold rush is now on, and it'll be interesting to see if we can figure out what they're really looking to get. There's an interview with the Google investment Planetary Resources saying what they wanted to do was tap water on the moon, but big question as to what they're really after. Heads up warning, FDA just cleared genetically modified salmon. If you go back in the archives, we did an incredible interview with Bertram Verhaag, the documentary maker from Munich, who did a great series on genetically modified food, including one called Life Running Out of Control. If there's any way you can find it and see it, I strongly recommend amended because it tells you, it explains absolutely why you never want to eat genetically modified salmon. But I strongly recommend you get that and from now on be very careful when you eat salmon. You need to know where it comes from and if it's genetically modified. If you can't assure yourself that it's not genetically modified, you need to make sure not to eat it. 2 points to Carl Denninger for coming up with a new nickname for Mark Zuckerberg. He calls him Zucker Burglar. What a perfect name. Here's what he wrote. You know there's a general problem with the so-called innovative Silicon Valley of late, and it's that it doesn't really innovate. I'd even put Zucker Burglar in that category, but of course the market loves him for now. Whether there's anything particularly innovative about getting American schmucks to give up all of their privacy and carry around a little spying device while insisting that they identify themselves in a form compatible with the government while using it is hardly innovative unless your last name is Hitler or it's Tse Tsung. Anyway, under the category, this is really scary. The Department of Labor has issued new guidance on economically targeted investments. Essentially, if you look into it, this is something that can be used to pressure pension funds to do things that play into the whole climate change, I would say, fraud. And then we have the Attorney General of New York now going after Exxon on the theory their public disclosure is not sufficient on issues of climate change. So there's a whole new window. You know, the French doors have been opened using securities law to torture a variety of different interests on the climate change. The good news is when we talked with Bob Lantan for the interview this week, his read is that no cap and trade system will come out of Paris, thank God. In the meantime, quietly throughout the business community, there is a super chill running through because of what's been happening to Volkswagen. My read on it, and you know, without doing a serious investigation, is that Toyota and Volkswagen have both been, you know, are both sort of been Toyota several years ago, now Volkswagen, are being tortured by the regulators as a result of essentially probably General Motors, but their competitors dishing out dirt on them and getting them snagged up with the regulators. If you look at the new Consumer Reports, just came out with a new sort of review of all the cars. Essentially, Volkswagen is very strong and rising in terms of quality and engineering. They're basically at the top of the ratings, and General Motors is in the basement. But yet, if you look at the headlines, it looks like General Motors is reliable and Volkswagen can't be trusted for quality and engineering, when in fact, if you look at Consumer Reports, it's absolutely the opposite. My guess is that the competition was getting more and more heated and Volkswagen was doing too well, and this was a chance for General Motors to protect their market share, but who knows what the truth is. It's just be careful when you if and when you buy a car, I would really look to groups like Consumer Reports to give you the skinny on quality and ignore these kinds of headlines. As I said, just in closing, to me, The number one cause of deflation is that a combination of the digital revolution with dirty tricks and lawlessness is putting a chill through everyone and everything globally. It's the number one cause of deflation. So you might say the entire global economy has CIA mafia, mercenary, black budget, fraudster flu. Okay, ask Catherine. Dear Catherine, for years we've been hearing that there are tens to hundreds of ounces of paper gold. Anyway, let me get this. A paper gold that exists, and that when the paper gold market finally collapses, the price of gold will skyrocket. Since this collapse still hasn't happened after all these years, do you believe that this kind of thinking is unrealistic? What the people promoting the scenario are describing a situation where gold is free to trade. And in such a world, you know, if gold were ever free to trade, we could be in a world where what else is going on is so extreme, you know, you might not even have markets. So I think it's impossible to say if the scenario that they describe is going to happen or not. There's no doubt that the system and prices very much depends on fiat gold. As to, at this point, to many other markets. So, but I would say the scenario of everything collapsing and the price going to the moon, as they describe, is unlikely. I think, you know, it posits the military-industrial complex losing complete control, but markets continuing to function. And I think that's an unlikely scenario. Another one says, another subscriber says, I saw the video you posted about the southern borders and the illegal immigration. Along the same lines, there are several disturbing reports on the refugee crisis in Germany and Sweden. One commentator said the peaceful Sweden has experienced a large increase in violent crimes. Take a look at the open gates, and refers to a video. You've just returned from Europe. Perhaps you can comment. Several of the things she posted, I checked out, and I believe one or more are sort of what I would describe fear porn, not reliable, probably disinformation. When I was in Europe, I saw two kinds of groups. One was real refugees, sincerely people who were fleeing a terrible situation. And the other thing I saw were young men, essentially, who clearly had been recruited and were acting under authority from someone. And, you know, were pretty aggressive in their temperament. So I think you're really seeing a combination of several things going on. And it's very much engineered top down by the leadership. As I said, I think one of the goals is to make sure the leadership sort of stays in control. There is no doubt from looking at the flood coming in that you are seeing something that has been financed. So there's no way that number of people could get that far with cell phones and transportation without somebody financing it. And that's the big question. Where is all that money coming from? And at the very root of the problem, whether it's the refugee situation or the war on terror, I think one of the things that's happening is Christendom is dealing with the fact that Islam is growing faster. And part of this is a reengineering of populations to deal with that situation. So obviously it's a pretty bold plan, and it's going to add a lot of pain to Europe. There is no doubt, though, that one of the things that is considered a great way to kickstart an economy is to bring in more people who are grateful for the opportunity. Okay, next question. Thanks for your work so far on the Salieri Report. I followed your work for a very long time on the internet, but recently subscribed less than a year ago to your publication since you have started to discuss UFOs. It's hard to navigate through the fear porn in the internet. That's why I'm so confused if I should invest in real estate in Europe, France, Germany, and Spain. Right now I'm just renting, but I would like to buy my house and then buy more apartments to rent out. Given the current geopolitical and economic situation, do you think it's a wise investment? It depends very much on where you are. Real estate is very specific. If you're around a cluster of important universities, businesses, and governments, you will probably be okay. You need to make sure not to take on too much leverage. You need to make sure that you can't get whipsawed on the cash flows. And so you want to be very, very careful about how you deal with debt. So you need to be able to manage your way through volatile periods. If you're on the continent, I would stick with the northern countries. Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, Switzerland are going to continue to be strong economically and will stay much more internally coherent. Or the UK will be a little bit more protected from the violence. Anyway, good luck. And remember, you know, the real estate is one of those things where there are 2,000 different variables. And if you get one really wrong, it can kill the whole thing. So you have to be extremely thorough. But I'm sure you know that. Maybe his last comment, maybe there'll be an interesting, that would make an interesting blog audio post, how to navigate through fear porn. Excellent suggestion. I'm trying to control my temper about fear porn and not doing a good job. Hi, Catherine. Not sure if I have a fair question to ask. I will find out. I heard you several times mentioning that you prefer high paying dividend stocks from Swiss companies. I'm a struggling investor for several reasons. But mostly for the reason that I was betting on the gold market for too long and too heavily. I need to secure my retirement that's coming up soon. Dividends are important. I did an equity overview a couple years ago called Dividends Matter, and it's a very good introduction. But here's the reality. We're coming into a turn in the bond market. It's going to create lots of issues in the bond market, and of course you're not getting what I think are yields commensurate with risk, and that means that companies that really have the power to endure and produce dividends. Again, growing dividends are generally produce better returns than high dividends, but dividends really matter. It's going to be a very important part, at least, you know, figure 25 to 50% of your returns. And you know, if you're getting those dividends, even though your stocks may be going up and down, you're probably going to do better than on many other kinds of investments. So, and if you can get small capital gains over time, that's great. So there's one of my favorite sort of ways of going about things in this environment is hedge portfolios. The hedge gives up some of the yield that you would get if you were long, but it protects you on the downside and it makes sure you get those dividends. So a hedge portfolio that gives you dividends and may get you a little bit of capital gains, it's a very prudent, conservative way to go at this kind of environment. Our interview tonight is with Bob Lytan, who I believe is one of the most respected economists of this generation. Tremendous breadth, I describe in the introduction. This is a guy who's been an entrepreneur. He's been an attorney. He is an attorney. He's an economist. He's a research economist. He's been very involved in the policy process, both at the Department of Justice and in the Office of Management and Budget. He's called on by Congress and all sorts of policymakers. He has written, I think, 25 books. And, you know, this is a guy who sat down on countless occasions and said, what should we do? And really dealt with the nuts and bolts. And one of the things you've heard on the Saleri Report this year is real leaders, very serious leaders who are the kind of people who are not interested in entertaining you. They're interested in engaging with you on what are the nuts and bolts that we need to deal with if we're going to re-engineer our economy, re-engineer our government, and deal with the significant issues before us. They're not afraid to deal with the real problems. So we've had Wilkerson, we've had Kaptur, we've had McKinney. So a sitting congresswoman, a former congresswoman, a former candidate for president of the United States, Wilkerson, chief of staff to Colin Powell. So, you know, and Lytan I would put in this group of somebody who has functioned at the highest policy levels within and around government and business. And I think his most important role was as running the research effort at Kauffman Foundation, which is a foundation in the heartland of America focused on entrepreneurship. And Bob has overseen some great research. We've published a lot of it on the Saleri Report. And I wanted to talk with him not about the areas where he and I can disagree. You can tell from the conversation that there are a couple, but we agree on an awful lot of things as it relates to rebuilding the entrepreneurship in the economy. And I think the problem that Bob ran into when he was at Kauffman was the pro-centralization team doesn't want strong entrepreneurship, except in the areas like Zuckerbergler, that promote, that promote the implementation of the infrastructure they use to control top down. So, but if for any reason a group of people were ever free to unleash true productivity in the economy, Lai Tan is one of the most astute people at helping figure out how to do that in a very serious way with a kind of great analytics that a great research economist and a great economist can bring to the table. So it's a very interesting interview. We talk about two of his books. His latest is Trillion Dollar Economist. My favorite is the book he wrote right before then that he co-authored, Better Capitalism, Renewing the Entrepreneurial Strength of the American Economy. Many great suggestions. One of them is giving green card and visas to anybody who comes to the United States and graduates from college or graduate school, something which I think is a great idea. Unfortunately, the opposition to it has grown with this whole issue on immigration. Of course, all the politicians, one of the reasons we're getting so much screaming about immigration is it's clear there's real concern in the population, and so all the politicians are jumping on it because it's a way of attracting support and votes. The reality is we're doing tremendous damage to ourselves by not permitting the kids who come here and go to college and graduate school. If we let them stay, you and I will be infinitely better off for having them here. America has always attracted the best and the brightest from all over the world, and it's that intellectual capital that's made us great. If you look at all of our family histories, many of us got here, most of us got here in the same way, in the same reason. And, you know, we need to keep the process going because it's, again, if you look at the research, and Bob's done a great job of laying it out, we are all infinitely better off economically for their presence here. So that's it. In closing, what's the action next week with Sibel Edmonds? Great interview. Then Agenda 21 with Rosa Quark with a climate change conference. And the new development agenda from the UN. I wanted to make sure we touched base and talked about Agenda 21, and then a refresh on the Global Spring issue with Clifford Carnicombe on December 10th. Very interesting. If you haven't read the transcript of the big special we did with Clifford, dive into the archives and get it, because what Clifford said, we went through the 7 hypotheses of global spraying, and after all these years and all this research, Clifford says, you know, those are still the 7, and we haven't answered the question. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this evening. I want to make sure, for those of you who are in the United States and celebrating Thanksgiving, I wish you a happy Thanksgiving, as there's no money in markets next week, so this is my last chance to make sure that I let you know that we have a lot to give thanks for here at the Solari Report. And the thing we most give thanks for is you and your support, because you make it possible for us to do this. And as I always say, we love what we do. So we'll be back next week with the interview with Sibel. So until then, November 26th, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Good night and good luck.